Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's good, everybody? This is John Boy, a.k.a. Mr. Virginia, and I want to invite all of our music lovers to join my addiction and get hooked on books. Please visit www.hiphopandbooks.com and see how we can work together to get others to fall in love with reading again. To find out more about me, visit www.myspace.com/JohnBoyCEO.
This is the best music. Ladies and gentlemen,
chasing money, we go chasing till my lights out. But while the lights out,
just lead the mic. Johnny's making anything, he even put his fight. So you
thank you for that, John Boy, and for all of our listeners, thank you for joining us for another edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, and before we begin, let me first welcome our listeners in Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Texas, California, Arizona, and today also in Oregon and Washington State. Hello, too, to all of you who are listening to us live online as well as by podcast, and thank you for joining us again. We have another great show for you today. This is a very good friend of Conversations, and we're very glad to be presenting him with you this year. He first came to our attention last year with his book, A Street Girl Named Desire, and he's giving us another bestseller this year that was just released last week, Keisha and Clyde. So we have a lot we want to cover. His book, A Street Girl Named Desire, was named by Conversations Book Club as one of its top 20 summer reads for this year. So I know he's definitely given us another book that we'll be reading on until next year as well. So please help me welcome Treasure Blue. How you doing, Treasure?
How you doing, Cyrus?
Great, great, man. Welcome back to Conversations.
Thank you for having me.
Look, we're glad to have you. Look, there's so much we can talk about with you, man. And we definitely want to talk about the new book, Keisha and Clyde. But I want to talk to you first of all. We just had a show a few minutes ago. We were speaking with an author about the idea of success. And you have had not one, but already two best-selling books, and now you're hitting for a third one with Keisha and Clyde. I'm just curious as for you, at this point, with the success that you've had as far as numbers and with fans, what is success for Treasure Blue?
Well, I'm just blessed by God. You know, that's the only way I can explain it, you know what I mean? Because I came up on the scene about only 4 years ago, and I made a dramatic impact in the urban fiction market, you know what I mean? I was recently named one of the top 10 urban lit authors of all time, you know what I mean, with Urban Book Source, and that's an honor, you know? I mean, that's, I give all praise to God.
Well, look, we know you're on a whirlwind tour, not only with bookstores, but also with radio and other interviews, so we definitely appreciate you taking out this time with us. For those that are just learning about you today and I don't know where they've been, Treasure, maybe under a rock or something. But for those that are very new to you, why don't we start in the beginning and tell them a little bit about who Treasure Blue is.
Repeat that, sir?
Can you tell them a little bit about who, if you were explaining who Treasure Blue is, how would you explain yourself?
Well, I consider myself an internal person that's right from the heart, you know what I mean? And I just want to define myself in this market, you know, and just tell the world, you know what I mean, about my plight, you know, my past and my hardships and things like that, and just put it, you know, into words, you know what I mean, and on paper, you know. And it's therapy for me, actually, you know, from all the things that I've been through. And just be honest and open about my plight, and people seem to respond well from that.
That's true. I mean, your storylines definitely resonate with audiences of all different ages, and I'm sure you see that in your readership. So when you sit down to write, I know your very first book that we found out about you was Harlem Girl Lost.
Yes,
and
sir.
The story of that, when you talked to our group last year, it was so interesting to know, I mean, how that story came about and how your relationship with a major publisher came about. But why don't you tell them, starting with that book, what was it that inspired you to write Harlem Girl Lost?
I could put that in one word, pain. You know, I was just going through so much at that time. You know, I'm an abandoned child, you know what I'm saying? My mother was an alcoholic, and I seen a lot of horrible stuff coming up, you know, and, you know, seeing my mother die the way she did, It just made me, you know, a shell, you know what I mean? And I, lo and behold, I turned into an emotional time bomb, going into my adulthood, you know what I mean? Drugs, alcohol, you know, women and things like that, you know what I'm saying? You know, I did a lot of crime when I was younger. And after the smoke cleared, you know, I was still fighting these demons, you know? And I just couldn't shake it. I didn't have any type of therapy, no psychologist. Nobody could tell me what was wrong with me, but I knew something was wrong with me. And so I was always good in English and writing and things like that, and I always seek solace in novels. And that was my, you know, my form of escapism in books. When I read a novel, I put myself in it, I'm in another world. And so I threw my hat in and started writing, and people started telling me, hey, you know, you're such a great writer. You know, in college, you know, I went back to school in college, and my professor was telling me, you know, did you write this? You know what I mean? And everybody just was so shocked and amazed on what they read. It's kind of solidified my stance of saying, okay, maybe I can write. And once I started writing essays and things like that, and I started off in screenplays, and I won a contest and things like that. And that's when I started really believing, hey, I got something here. And by chance, you know, I went to a speaking engagement, and it was an author, Shannon Holmes. I never heard of this guy, but he came to my school and did a lecture, you know what I mean, about urban fiction and writing and things like that, and I was fascinated. And I immediately went on the internet, look it up, and things like that. So I was intrigued, and I said to myself, I can do that. And the next day, I started writing Harlem Girl Laws from the variety of stories I already had. And 1 year later, I published the book, and I sold 65,000 copies independently, and it became a classic. It became acclaim, and it just blew me away. And then, of course, you know, the majors started calling me, and it went on from there. Signed the deal, and the rest is history.
Well, you know, and that is, to me, one of the things that is so incredible about you. I mean, because that definitely shows tenacity. 65,000 units, I mean, yourself on the streets. I mean, that is an
Absolutely.
Incredible feat. A lot of people who have deals don't sell those type of numbers. So
right.
What separated you, Treasure, from them? I mean, what was it about you with your book that was so different than a lot of these authors who get book deals?
See, when I wrote this story, I mean, I really felt this story in my bones. I mean, it took a lot out of me because I gave up the truth, Cyrus, you know what I mean? A lot of my true life experience went inside that book, and I just wanted to tell you my story, the story of a child, the story of the children, you know what I mean? That's what motivated me also. If I went through those things, how many hundreds of thousands of millions of children went through the same thing? So I became the person that, you know, even though it was shameful, I decided to put it down on paper, and people start seeing, I mean, reading the story, and it blew them away. Every person that I've met, you know what I mean, said that they cried, laughed, screamed, you know, because it was the truth. It was so emotional. And, you know, I just put it down. I wrote this novel with blood, sweat, and tears. I was crying halfway through the novel because I was smitten by the truth. And I had a group of people who read it, you know, some friends and things like that, and they believed in it so much that they made it possible. We said, Treasure, I'm with you. We're going to get this book out. So I had a team of about six or seven other people, and we all worked on it together. When the book came out, we just was on the street just yelling this book out. Harlem Girl Lost, one of the best books you ever, you know, read. You know, I don't take all credit from it because my team helped me out drastically, and they caught on like wildfire, you know. And I just started receiving hundreds of letters, emails, and things like that. It behooves me right now just to know the success of it. You know, this book just took off.
And I'll tell you, and the success only continued to go with your second book, Street Girl Named Desire, which I tell people, I've referred this book to so many people, and I tell them it is one of those books, it probably will be hard to read a second time. I know I haven't been able to read it a second time because it's such a powerful story, but it's so gritty, and it puts you there, and you feel exactly what you're talking about now. You feel that pain, and
right.
You feel that anguish, and it's, I mean, when people, you know, talk about you and they make these comparisons, to you and other authors, and how you're like, I mean, reincarnated into the truth of what urban lit's supposed to be. That's a big honor to get that, but also a lot of responsibility comes with that. Did you feel any pressure, Treasure, going into A Street Girl Named Desire to follow up the success of Harlem Girl Lost?
You know, and I you know, I did, but I didn't, because, you know, I mean, here I am now, got this best-selling book, and I'm coming up with this number two book. I already had the storyline, you know, in my head and things like that. And me being a perfectionist that I am wanting my books to have substance. I just didn't want to write a book, you know, just for the sake of writing. I wanted to have substance. I wanted to have appeal. I wanted to have something that I can give to you, you know, give to the world, you know what I mean? And that's my stance. And as long as I stood true by those words, you know, I say a lot of things that a lot of people, you know, don't say out loud. You know, I put it down into the book. And, of course, I've been down those roads before. You know, I've been there. You know what I mean? You know? I've been there. You know?
Well, you can definitely tell. I mean, it's amazing what you're able to do with words. I mean, it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Let's fast forward into now the new book, Keisha and Clyde, because I made a joke with one of my coworkers today that you're like the Will Smith of books when it comes to, we pretty much know when to expect a book from Treasure. You
wow.
Leave us waiting a little while.
Well, I've never heard
it was June, I think, where The Street Girl Named Desire came out last year. And
mm-hmm.
now you've given us Keisha and Clyde, another great story. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired this story?
Well, yeah, that story kind of inspired me. I'm a movie buff, you know, and I like to put a spin on things, you know, tell a story from the perspective, you know, of an urbanite, of a, you know, of ghetto children, you know what I mean? As
right.
You may know, Keisha and Clyde is relevant to Bonnie and Clyde.
Right.
And so I wanted to put it in that form and give it with an urban twist. You know, it's about, you know, two children that accost each other, you know, in an unlikely situation, and what they go through, and when they get themselves in a situation, how they get themselves out of the situation. But it's very emotional and very deep. You know what I mean? It's about, you know, two kindred spirits, you know, despite what they go through, you know, they're going to persevere, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, it kind of reminds me of one of my girlfriends that I had years ago. I was, you know, I had a girlfriend who was runaway. You know, I was also into the streets and things like that. She told me her hardship and her story. Her story was a rape, you know what I mean? And this was, I think I was maybe 14 and she was probably 13. And she
wow.
told me these stories of how she was, you know, molested and things like that. That was the first time me hearing of an adult can have sex with a child. And she cried on my shoulder. We cried together, you know what I mean? And we had this kindred spirit. And, you know, we trusted each other. Despite our circumstances, we made each other, you know, feel whole, you know, at once. And I never forgot that experience that I had as an adolescent. That's very young to go through what, you know, you went through. You
right.
know, so I kind of took a piece of that and put it into fiction form and told my story.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it definitely caught me by surprise. And I think probably only because it was such a powerful story, and it almost was a progression for us as readers to see what Desire went through in A Street Girl Named Desire, and then to actually see a real love as what we see in Keisha and Clyde, something that a lot of people, you know, don't feel as though can exist, but that does exist. And I think it makes us believe that no matter what our circumstances, we're able to make it.
Right.
And there'll always be someone who understands.
Right.
And I think that's what I really got from that book. I'm just curious as to, as far as your diehard fans, and you have many of them,
mm-hmm.
what has the response been like? It's been a week now, a week ago today that the book came out officially. What
you
have
know,
been some of the responses you've gotten?
I'm so overwhelmed right now because I really thought I did my damn thing with Harlem Girl Lost and Street Girl Named Desire. You know what I mean? These are classic books, you know, according to the but lo and behold, the response that I'm hearing is these readers, these fans, is saying, my God, this is better than the first two books. And that blew me away, you know what I mean? Because it's not an easy task to write a novel. You know, it's one thing to write a novel, and it's another thing to write in a good novel. You know, and so, you know, to hear these people say that this book succeeds even my first two books, that's incredible. I would never expected that. You know what I mean?
Right. And so what, I'm just want to ask this question because I'm sure when you hear that with every book, I'm sure you heard it with Harlem Girl Lost, you heard it with Street Girl Named Desire, now you're hearing it with Keisha and Clyde, are you like, does that put the pressure really on for book number four, or is it at this point you've kind of just, you found your way of expressing your voice and you pretty much know the next, you know, the next level you're going to take us in?
I agree with the latter, you know what I mean? I found, you know, a recipe that works, you know, and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm always going to reach out and take a chance, but as long as I stay true to myself first and to the readers, because we have some educated readers out there.
Exactly.
I mean, they know garbage from, you know, from garbage, you know, and people, even the minutest thing, you know, people call me out on it, and I really respect the readers. But as long as I stay true to myself and true to, you know, just the craft, you know what I mean, I doubt if I have any problems, because, you know, I feel like I'm 3 for 3, and that's an honor. I mean,
right.
I mean, I've read so many stories on how other authors came out with their freshman novel, and it was a classic, and the second novel is okay, and the third novel is going downhill. You know what I mean? I'm afraid of that. To honestly tell you the truth, Cyrus, I'm afraid of that. I don't want to be one of those writers that, you know, just don't give it to the readers. You know, I mean, I go on Amazon.com and I look at the comments, and, you know, the people who comment on Amazon is true to life readers, and I respect that.
Right.
You know?
Well, look, I mean, the readers love you, and it definitely is a testament to your talent and to your gift. For those that are just joining us, and I see some people have joined us in the chat room as well, Treasure, you're listening to Conversations Live. Our guest for today is best-selling author Treasure Blue. We're discussing his entire body of work, Harlem Girl Lost, A Street Girl Named Desire, but of course, we're highlighting his new book that just came out last week, Keisha and Clyde. Treasure, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back from break, I want to talk about the role of faith in your life and how your faith has helped you in your writing career, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, taking us into the break, this is Sean Simmons with the song My Life. We'll be right back with Conversations Live.
I know you didn't expect this one. It's Sean Simmons.
Take a minute, brush my shoulders off. It's your boy Tim Steele, COD All-Star, and I want all my music lovers to join my addiction and get hooked on books. For more information, log on to www.hiphopandbooks.com. And for more information on your boy Steele, hit me up at myspace.com/TimSteeleCOD. Get your read on.
Don't you know
Thank you for that, Tim Steele, and for all of our listeners, thank you for joining us, Steele, for Conversations Live. Today, our special guest is Treasure Blue. He's the best-selling author of Harlem Girl Lost and also A Street Girl Named Desire. Now we're going 3 for 3 with his new book, Keisha and Clyde, that was just released last week. Treasure, when we went to break, I said I want to talk about the role of faith and what your faith has done for you as a writer. And just as a recap, I mean, you talked about what you've experienced growing up and, you know, going from selling drugs at the age of 14, finding out that's not the life you wanted to be involved in, going at 17 and getting your GED, then joining the Army, and then your time past that. I'm just curious as to how you would say your faith has developed and grown over those years up until this point.
Well, you know, being the child that I was, I always had to be responsible for myself at an early age. Since my mother was not in the picture, that I was forced to survive by myself. You know what I mean? You know, and I had to maneuver any type of way I had to do it, you know, and take it. You see, I didn't know the difference back then. All I knew was the hardship, so I was used to that. So, you know, it got to the point where, you know, I mean, I wasn't seeing my mother for months at a time, and I had to eat. And so I had to take to those streets. I was working, packing bags and selling newspapers and doing everything that I could to survive, you know, but it was all by myself. You know, I couldn't feel sorry for myself because that's the life that I led. And so I had to keep everything intact, don't think about those things, and just move on. I didn't give myself to wallow in my self-pity. I just moved on. I did what I had to do. So I had to become a shell. I had to become steel. I had to be poised. And that works, but for so long. You know what I mean? You know, as you get older, you break down, and you just realize that the bird, that heavy bird, was just a farce. And so when the rain come, you know, it pours and you break down. You know what I mean? And so
right.
That's what happened to me. You know what I mean? When the rain came, I fell hard. And once I experienced that and got past all those things, which was hardship, you know, the drugs, the alcohol, and things like that. And once the smoke cleared, you know what I mean, that just made me stronger. I came to amends with my mother, the abandonment, you know, my past and things like that. And that just solidified myself to survival, you know what I mean? And I'm proud of the person that I am today, you know what I mean? I don't, you know, I tell my kids about it. I tell my kids, I'll be open and honest with my children on what I've been through. I don't want to see them go through that. My son right now is about to go to college, you know what I mean? And that's a beautiful thing, you know? I mean, the only reason, through my kids, is the only way how I knew that I had it bad, because I looked at them at the age of 12. I said, damn, you know, at 12, I was out on the street doing this and doing that. I couldn't see it in my children. And that's when I started crying for the little boy that I never, you know, that I never knew.
Well, Treasure, I mean, you have, I mean, there's no denying the impact that you've had on not only the publishing game, but also on readers, I mean, throughout the country and throughout the world. And, you know, for different people, success means different things. I mean, for some, it might be a number of books that you've sold. For others, it might be being on certain lists or being recognized certain ways. Do you think for you, from being that little boy who was in desperate need to being now someone who has established himself as a credible force in the world, has your idea of what making it changed along the way?
Yes, definitely. You know what I mean? I realized that, you know, true happiness comes from within, not from materialism and things like that, because one thing about me, I always had money. You know what I mean? I always seem to stay above, you know, the status quo, you know what I mean, the jobs and things like that. I always had it, whether it was drugs, whether it was legal work, whether it was anything, you know what I mean? I never looked at money as a pleaser. I always was looking for something that I was searching for something I didn't know. And I realized over the years that, you know, it's all about the peace within. The peace within is the most valuable thing that you could possibly have. The love and admiration for family and friends is the most important thing. You know what I mean? I don't worry about money, you know what I mean, or anything like that, you know what I mean? And I'm just happy where I'm at today. You know, my son is with me right now. And, you know, it's because he want to be here. I wasn't as close to my father like that. A matter of fact, I couldn't even talk to my father. I knew he was out there, but I couldn't, you know. But me and my son got an open and honest relationship, and that's all I wanted, right there.
And for your readers, if they're picking up Keisha and Clyde, and if this is their very first book, Treasure, that they've read of yours out of the three, what do you hope the message they take from that book is?
Hope, you know what I mean, if you was anything like me, if you came from any life that I come from or saw the things that I saw or many others out there, you would know that it is hope. You know what I mean? I checked my email today, and a 15-year-old girl wrote me. She said that, you know, her mother wasn't a prostitute. Her mother wasn't anything like that, but she learned so much from the book. She knew that it wasn't the right age for her to read, but she said she had to read it, because she heard so much about it. And in part, she took something out of the story. See, because my stories is all about encouragement, all about hope. You know what I mean? It's all about shifting all the naysay to the side, you know, the glamorization of the streets, and look at the reality of life and how it can happen to you, you know, that you don't adapt to these things, you know what I mean? And I know that it's been effective because the people I talk to, the letters that I read, the emails that I receive, you know, it helps people, you know what I mean? It's not hindering anyone. It's just helping them full steam ahead, even if come from the background, you can get on your knees and thank God, hey, I didn't have to go through this. I had one young lady who virtually experienced the same thing as one of my main characters, and how it prompts her to talk about it. It prompts her to get counseling. It prompts her to be a better mother. It prompts her just to be a better person. And so when you could do that, you know, you change somebody's life. Come on, man. That's all you can ask for, you know what I mean? And like I said, I just don't write for the sake of writing. If I can have purpose, meaning, substance to it, I will retire. You know, when the day comes where I don't have anything to talk about, where I can't give you, I'm not going to write anymore because it's aimless. You know, I grew up reading, you know what I mean, a lot of traditional authors, you know, writers, James Orwell, Virginia Woolf, James Baldwin, you know, and I learned from that. You know, the first book that captivated me, my very first book that I ever read in my life, and it was because my mother made me to, because I was on punishment. She was a school teacher, by the way, so, you know, before she went on tour, she was a respectable person, but she just fell wayward. But she
right.
gave me a book, and it was The Count of Monte Cristo. And I related so well to the entrapment of this man, how he was thrown in the cave, the bowels of an island. You know what I mean? And I felt his pain. And so it was so smitten to me that I never forgot that. And I fell in love with writing from then on. And that liberated me, so to speak. And it never left me. I want people to be liberated as well. I want you, when you, at the end of my book, you don't want it to end. I want you to get something out of the novel, you know, in which you will. You know, I drop a whole lot of jewels, a whole lot of love, a whole lot of hope in my novels that, you know, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I tell you, I mean, that beautiful thing is definitely an understatement. I mean, because, I mean, your work has been so powerful and so influential. Trudy, you said one thing, and I definitely want to get to this. I don't want you to go before we talk about this. You mentioned about how the street life has been glamorized. That's
how the what?
You said. How the street life has been glamorized.
Right.
And I just want you to talk about how you hope that through your books you're able to show the realism there.
Well, you know, yeah. Like, I got attracted to those same streets, you know, at a very young age. And it was like a code that you live by. You know what I mean? Something that you just was a lord to. You know what I mean? And I remember,
right.
and I lived, and you die by these codes of the streets. You know, every man is supposed to womanize a woman and things like that. Never show love to a woman, never show love to anybody. You know, it's a whole lot of mental twisted deception, deceit that went on in those streets, and I did it. And I remember years later, you know what I mean? The same block where I used to sell these drugs at, I found myself walking up these same blocks that I did a lot of damage and a lot of, you know, things in. And here I am walking around still with these codes and this honor, things like that, but everything has changed. You know, the whole street has changed. You know, those laws, the same, everybody who I came up with, sold drugs with, is dead or in jail. Look
wow.
at the statistic of that. You know what I mean? See, I got out of it at a very early age. I started at an early age, and I got out of it at an early age.
Right.
I went into the military, but, you know, and that saved me. And I remember getting a job with the New York City Fire Department, and these same guys that I see, who I used to, you know, mix it up in the street with, you know, I'm doing so well, I'm this respectable fire inspector, and they can't even hold a decent job, and they in and out of jail, or they drug addicts, and they looking at me, and I see it in their eyes, they saying, hey, man, you did just as much dirt as I did, and why did you make it and I didn't? You know, I still feel a lot of remorse for making it. I don't know why I made it. You know what I mean? So to speak. You know what I mean? I pay for it in a lot of ways, you know, but I don't have no felonies. I don't have anything. I'm not in jail. You know what I mean? My family is with me. But if I did everything that they did, why am I still on top and they at the bottom? I don't understand that. It, you know, they call it survivor's guilt or whatever. But, you know, this is my mission, is just to tell that story. You know what I mean? Hustling on those streets of Harlem, I wanted to tell that story, and I wanted to be the one to do it.
Well, I tell you, your entire life, I mean, is definitely a story that all of us can be inspired by, a treasure. And I think, you know, even those listening to this interview and those that will go and they'll pick up the new book, Keisha and Clyde, that they'll be able to see the truth that you have, that you're presenting to us, that this is something real to you. Now, we definitely want to let them know, Treasure, if there are those that are listening, they want to find out more about you, want to go out and find the books online, where can they find out about you online?
Well, you could just always punch in Treasure E. Blue. You can get anything you want to know about me. There's some YouTube interviews and things like that. But if you want to get the book, you just need to go to any bookstore, you know, Barnes & Noble's, Borders, anything, or Amazon.com, any, it's everywhere. And pick up
right.
the book, because once you read these books, you're going to know the truth. You're going to know that it's an excellent, excellent story that I'm giving. It's no idle vanity. It's just pure, unadulterated, true-to-the-point stories.
Look, and we appreciate you.
With various twists.
Ed Treasure, we appreciate you sharing each one of those twists and turns with us. Again, our guest today has been best-selling author Treasure Blue, the author of several books, Harlem Girl Lost, Street Girl Named Desire, and also the new book, Keisha and Clyde. Let's not forget that his book, A Street Girl Named Desire, was named one of our top 20 summer reads for 2008. You should definitely pick
wow.
that one up. And the new book, Keisha and Clyde, I'm sure will be making the bestsellers list very, very soon.
Very
Treasure,
soon.
Thank you so much for taking out the time to be here with us.
Cyrus, it has been a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Oh,
I'm honored.
No problem. No problem, man. And for those that are interested in finding out more about Treasure, we also have information about him on our book club website. Simply visit www.thebestbookclub.info. That's www.thebestbookclub.info. Look at the Conversations Live link, and there you'll find information about Treasure Blue and all of our other guests as well. So, Treasure, again, you have a great evening, and thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you so much for having me once again.
Oh. You're welcome, man. And for
okay.
all of our listeners, thank you for joining another edition of Conversations Live. As always, enjoy your day, enjoy your world, enjoy your life, and make sure you take out the time to enjoy a great book. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying until next time, this is Conversations Live. Taking us out today is my very good friend, C. Murder, featuring Akon with his new song, One False Move. Enjoy it, and we'll see you right back here next time for Conversations Live.
I'm C. Murder, and I'm back. Respect my mind. One false move, they tryna do your boys something dirty, you heard me? But it ain't gonna work, man. Cut boys.